So this is the third week in our sermon series, How Do I Do That? And we started the first week and we talked about courage, and some of you said, hey, that's something I really needed to hear. And then last Sunday we talked about anger, and more of you said, yeah, that's something I really needed to hear and I need to deal with. Now this week, it may be something that we don't know we need to hear, but I think we really do. The topic for this week is how to speak the truth in love. And what does that look like? Now, I will be completely honest with you. I try to do that as often as possible. I hate that phrase, speaking the truth in love, because my experience in the church is that it's often been a phrase that's used to say something really mean to someone or to gossip about someone. Oh, I'm just speaking the truth in love. Right? And it's been used to hurt people. In fact, I've shared this story before, but Susan and I had this friend who went to a church down in Texas who said they used to tell people these really horrible things, difficult things about them and their sin, and then they would say, just fix your sin, and once you fix that, you can come back to the church. And to which, of course, I responded, so you have no one in your church, right? But again, it was very mean-spirited. It wasn't done with kindness. And friends, one of the biggest challenges that folks who are outside of the church, and when I say outside of the church, I mean people who don't go to church, one of the biggest challenges that people have with the church is this concept of hypocrisy, right? The church who says we're kind and we're loving and we're trying to be like Jesus and then is hateful to each other or hateful to the world. And actually, DC Talk, which is an old band who I like, who popped up on my Spotify recently, has this line in the beginning of one of their songs, which says, this is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. When we pretend like we live this life and then we go out into the world and it's nothing like we claim on a Sunday morning. And it's a really big challenge for those who are outside of the church, this idea of sharing the truth in love. Now, we had a situation happen in our home a few weeks ago. Susan had left for work and I was there and I was down packing lunches or doing something to get ready, and I noticed this little brouhaha starting between the kids. And it started off pretty like minimal, like, hey, why did you do that? And then it escalated and it got louder and louder, and it turned into like, you are the worst person in the world, right? That sort of phrases. You never wake up in the morning. I mean, just these crazy, outlandish things that our children were screaming back and forth at each other. And I went, hey, hold on, wait for a second, let's just pause. How is what you're saying helpful? Now, I thought this was like a really good parenting moment, right? Like, I'm going to pause them. Everything's going to go really well. How is what you're saying important? Let me tell you, they had very good responses for how what they, he is mean. She lies all the time. He does this. In their mind, speaking the truth was this thing about being right. And it was really important for them because they could justify the reasons why they could say whatever they wanted to each other. Now, I will tell you, they were never going to de-escalate in what they were doing. It was never going to just, oh, right, I am an awful person. Let me go and step off to the side. It wasn't going to happen in that situation. And the truth is, friends, most of the time, when someone says that to us or we say it to someone else, I'm just speaking the truth in love, it is not meant to de-escalate. It is not meant to be helpful. It is often meant to be hurtful. It is often meant to be harmful. And that's the challenge with the phrase. So do we just throw it out? Well, I don't think we throw it out. I think we look at it from a different lens. Because this actually is a phrase that comes from Scripture. This isn't something that the church just made up, this idea of speaking the truth in love. It comes from the letter to the Ephesians. And I want to look at the context of this morning with you. Ephesians chapter 4. It says, we must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, there it is, we must grow up in every way into him who is the lead, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Now this I affirm and insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and because of their hardness of heart. Now, it's important that we understand what Paul says right before this chunk of scripture, because this is the part where he goes into with the people and he says, you all have gifts, use them to be one body. Work together, use them to glorify God, use them to love people, use them to work together. So he goes through this whole litany of you better use your gifts to work together because you're better when you're one. And then he moves into this idea of speaking the truth. Now, the reality is most of us actually want truth in our lives. Do you agree? Most of us want it when it comes to truth. So John Ortberg, who's a pastor out in California, he gives this illustration where he says, consider or imagine going into a car mechanic. And you go into the car mechanic and you give them your money, and they say they're going to do certain things and they're going to work on your car, and they give you your car back and they fix the things they said they're going to fix, and you say, how was everything? And they say, your car is in pristine shape. It is really, really good. Everything about your car is awesome. And you drive out and you get on your first hill and you realize after you're going down your first hill, your brakes go out, right? You start sliding down the hill. So you get the car taken back to the car place and you say to the guy, what about my brakes? He goes, oh yeah, your brakes are really bad. They're awful. You don't have any brake fluid. Well, why didn't you tell me that? Well, I want you to keep coming back to our car place, so I thought I'd be nice to you. How does the person with their car feel? They're angry, right? All they wanted was what was wrong with the car. Or the doctor. You go to the doctor, and the doctors, I actually think doctors are getting worse about telling people about their health because people get really angry, right, in response to them. So you go into the doctor, and the doctor says, you're in pristine shape. And you go out and you run your first quarter mile and you collapse. And you get into the hospital and your doctor meets you there and your doctor says, oh, actually, you have four arteries that are clogged. Right? Instead of just telling you the truth. And we've become a society that thinks we're telling the truth all the time. But we're actually not telling the truth about the important things. We're not sharing the truths about the things that matter, about the things that are transformative in people's lives. So if the truth matters and it's important, yet it's often used as this painful thing, how do we actually get to telling the truth in love as he talks about? Well, the first thing Paul says in this scripture gives us a pretty interesting thing. His very first thing that he says is, grow up. Is that something you might like to say to some people in your life these days, right? Grow up. And he says it to this like swath of people, just grow up. And the way that he says it is, we must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. Stop acting like children. He's having this conversation with the early church, and they're figuring it out, and they're still excited about it all. And he says, stop acting like kids. Just stop doing it. Before he writes, grow up, he tells them that they should have a life that's humble, patient, bearing with one another in love, and make efforts towards unity. He wants them to be one body, but he wants them to grow up. Now, how do you grow up? How do you do that with what Paul is saying? You don't just wake up and stand in the mirror one morning and say, I'm all grown up now. Right? It actually takes some work. It takes some attention. And what Paul is referring to here is growing up in spiritual practice. Do things that help you grow in your relationship with God. Every once in a while, Paul would suggest, pick up that Bible. Read it. See what is in there. See what God is encouraging you to do. What is God speaking in the midst of that? Find yourself an online app. Paul wouldn't say this because this didn't exist, but find yourself an online app that sends it to you, that pushes it to you. Come to worship. You've done well. Congratulations. You're growing up, right? Come to worship. Join a life group, right? Be generous with your service, with your time, with your resources. But do these things to grow up, because Paul suggests that if we want to get to speaking the truth in love, we must be people who grow up. We can easily, without growing up, be people who speak the truth. But that is often our truth, our opinion, our thing that we want to share with other people. It's the in love part that's really, really important. So I want to take that to our second point, which is, what is the motivation? What is the thing behind what you're saying? Do you often say things and your motivation in saying something to someone else is not about them, it's about you? Or perhaps maybe you've never done that. Someone else has done that to you. Right, where the motivation of speaking the truth is more about what they want out of you than something that's better for yourself. Speaking the truth is not about you. But then Paul says, speak the truth in love. And when he's talking about that, he's talking about this thing called agape love. Agape love. And agape love is self-sacrificial love. So if we find ourselves speaking the truth in love to better ourselves, that's not what Paul is talking about. This agape love is about the other. It's about the person that we're sharing. It's about caring for the person. When I think about moments in the church where I've seen this done so poorly, and I told you I've hated this phrase for so long. When I think about moments, I think about the way the church has used the truth to hurt people instead of to encourage them and help them. I've shared before my story about my childhood and how we left the church when I was 12 years old, and our reasoning for that was a pastor stood up to share truth about our family from a pulpit. It was not done in love. It was painful, and it was about where we vacationed. It seemed like such a simple, simple thing, but he felt the need to share that truth, and that truth was not shared in love. Friends, this might be the most important thing you hear today. This idea of speaking the truth in love is not about fixing someone else. It's not about fixing someone else. I think so often our challenge with this phrase is that we have used it to go, how can I fix you? And how can I fix you? And how can I fix you? So I want to give us a little diagram to help us this morning. You get to see me draw. Not well. Well, you're not going to get to see it if it flies off. But I want you to think about the possibilities of us having conversations with people. And these possibilities happen because we have multiple options when we have a situation that we feel like we need to raise with people. So I want you to imagine this is love getting greater and this is truth getting greater. Now, many times, the worst thing that happens, and I believe this is probably the worst, is that we have people in our lives who we have very little love for and very little truth for. And when it comes to speaking with them, we don't say anything, nothing. There's nothing that we say. And some people would call that indifference, right? I'm just kind of indifferent to the people in my life. Other people would call that pretty self-serving or selfish, right? If you're a selfish person, you don't share the truth. You don't share love. You're just kind of all about yourself. But then probably people that you've encountered more likely in your life are people who like to share a lot of truth with virtually no love. And those are critical people, right? You have critical people in your life? A lot of truth, no love. Another word for that is a jerk, okay? A jerk who likes to go, here's the truth, and I'm going to tell you the truth, and the truth is you don't drive well, you're a terrible driver, and you hit the gas too hard, and there's no love in that whatsoever. But then what church people do a lot, I mean, we do this a lot, but you know what else we do a lot? We do this quadrant down here, which is a lot of love and no truth. You know what that's called? Enabling. Right? We have someone in our lives that we deeply love, someone that matters, and instead of saying, hey, I think you need to go to the doctor, there's something really going on in your life, and I think you need to go to the doctor, or hey, I think we need to think about this problem or have this conversation about this problem because it's really hindering you and it's holding you back. Instead of saying that, we just pretend like it's not there. We love them. Love. Show great love. But is it really moving people? But then Paul, what he's talking about is this fourth quadrant up here, which is this agape love that I speak of. Agape love, which is truth and love pretty to the extreme. And the thing about truth and love is when we have agape love and we come to this truth that is about the other, that is self-sacrificial, the love is so great. It's so powerful that people can actually hear it. In this quadrant, nobody hears you. Or if they do, they dismiss you as just being mean, or you hurt them so badly they can't do anything about it. In this quadrant, nobody hears you because it's not helping them. It's in this quadrant that Paul calls us to in this passage, to be people of agape love. And here's the final thing. The final thing is, I think we have to speak our own truth. Speak our own truth to ourselves. I shared a couple of weeks ago about this special that I watched on Netflix from Brené Brown. You guys remember I talked about that? She tells this story, story of her and her husband at the lake. It was like their favorite place to go, and they had decided to go do this big family vacation, and they woke up early one morning before the kids. And they go out for a swim, and they decided the two of them were going to swim completely across the lake. And it was a really, really big deal. And they were feeling good about having this time together. And they get out, and they swim halfway across the lake. And she just has this moment where it's a beautiful day. And her husband's probably from me to the back row there. And she goes, "Hey, I just feel really, really, really close to you right now. Like, this feels like such an intimate moment." And her husband says, "Yeah, yeah, whatever, okay." And he keeps swimming. And she's a little ruffled by this. Right? What happened in that moment? So she's like, "It's okay, I'll do it again." So they get to the other side of the lake and they get over there. And he's over on this side of the bank and she's over here. And she looks at him and she goes, "Honey, I just need to tell you, I feel really close to you at this moment. Like, this is a really intimate moment for us and it's really, really special." And he goes, "Yeah, yeah, okay." And he starts swimming. Well, at this point, she's angry. And she starts creating this narrative in her head, which is, "He must not think I look good in my swimsuit anymore. He must think that I'm a terrible wife. I bet he's thinking of leaving me. Right? I must not be as good at swimming as I once was." So she says she stormed across the lake as fast as she could. She beat him across the lake. And she gets out and she doesn't even say anything to him. And they get inside and she's like, "I was steaming." And she looked at her husband and she says, "I need to tell you the narrative that I've created in my head right now." She said, "The narrative in my head is that you don't love me anymore. That you're thinking about leaving me and you're thinking about moving on." And he looks at her and he says, "Wow, I'm so sorry that's the story in your head." He said, "I actually had a nightmare last night about swimming across this lake with our kids. And a boat came in and ran over our kids and one of them almost drowned. And," he said, "the entire time I was out in the water, I was terrified and I didn't hear a word that you said to me." We have to speak our own truth sometimes. And I had this, when I was going through my pastoral training, this guy used to say truths to me. And his truths always started with, "Hey, I'm just trying this on." They weren't definitive truths. They weren't these things like, "I'm going to tell you what you're feeling or what your problem is." He would say, "Hey, I want to try this on. How does this resonate with you? How does this reality resonate with you?" And what I knew was every time he was doing that, because of the way that he was saying it, he was doing it with love. So much of the way that we speak truth with love is the way that we say it. Is the way that we speak that truth. And friends, we have to speak our own truth sometimes. And it may be the truth that we've created in our heads. It may not be the real truth. But we have to say to people, "I just want to let you know, this is what I'm feeling. And this is what I'm sensing." It doesn't mean that it is the truth. A lot of times, our truths that we shared are done out of anger, that thing I talked about last week, and are harmful for people. Because they're feelings and they're not truths. A lot of times our truth that we share is a feeling that we have. But when we do what this guy did for me, when he would say, "Hey, I'm just trying this on," when we try on a truth, it leaves it with the possibility that we're wrong. And it is this thing called dialogue, where people might talk back with us and have more conversation with us. So Paul ends this section with this. He says, "Now this I affirm and I insist on in the Lord. You must no longer live as the Gentiles live." And Gentiles was a word at the time that just meant not Jew. Right? "You must no longer live as the Gentiles live in the futility of their minds. They're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of their ignorance and their hardness of heart." I think the reason that I've hated this phrase for so long speaking the truth in love is because my experience has been with people who use it and they haven't acted with love at all. They use it to get what they want, to get their way, or maybe to get across an important point, but not to help me, to help themselves. This love that Paul talks about, this agape love that is for the other, is not about fixing somebody else. It's about loving them and journeying with them and walking with them. Loving others, friends, is more than your own opinions or your thoughts. I know that's hard sometimes. But loving others is more than our own opinions and our thoughts. But it's about caring for the people with whom we share. And if we actually do that, we'll be doing this thing called speaking the truth in love. And I actually believe that if we do it well, it can transform the world. But if we do it the way we've been doing it, it is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable.